You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Come from you, ghetto people, yeah.
What are you gonna
gonna do?
Do you think they
have? Do you think it all?
Yeah. Our government cares about
they
you.
Ain't giving up a second thought about you, no. Ghetto people.
Who you gonna turn to next?
Tell
ghetto
me. You gotta take a look at yourself, yeah. Get some people.
Where do you wanna be?
Where you wanna
tell
be?
Me what your life is.
What's with your life?
Running like a red disease.
I'm running like a red disease. Get some people.
Stop giving up yourself.
Stop doing what you're doing to yourself, yeah. You gotta learn to love yourself.
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything that on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. Hope you're going to have a good day. Today is Wednesday. Hope you can get over that hump. And hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, should do, must do, can do, and will do. And I hope the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But of course, if it's not, and it has to be done, it must be done, you will get it done. Because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. And you will do it safely. So continue to do it well. Other programming that we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And all times are going to give our Eastern Times. On Mondays from 6 to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia with Brother Jihad Ahmed. And that's followed by from 8 to 9, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Nataki Kamban. From 9 to 10 on Monday, Conversation Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey of Encobra. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. From 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, from 8 to 10 on Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank. Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report, this evening from 8 to 9. The Black Farmers Report on Wednesdays from 8 to 9. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard on Fridays at 8 p.m. Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. And then from 7 to 9 on Saturdays, the Sankofa Elders Council. Sunday at 7 p.m. Once again, it's Time for an Awakening on Sunday at 7 p.m. on Sunday. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. We Buy Black. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses, WeBuyBlack.com. On Facebook, they had a promotion, of course, if you buy from WeBuyBlack.com, and they'll ship it free. And, of course, they're still wanting our brothers and sisters to donate to help establish a supermarket here in the Atlanta area. Man, I'm going to quit announcing that because every time I do, I got this, like, damn, you know? That should have been done. I'm serious. I mean, that should have been easy, you know? And if more of us had that kind of consciousness and awareness and cohesion and collectivism, it would have been done. Once the call went out, the response should have been immediate. And then the people put in place to build it, if that's the case, or buy an existing one and remodel it, and you know, yeah, should have been done happen. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. Brother Bomani Tayemba with Africa for the Africans. And he has a trip upcoming. The next trip is Tanzania, November 18th through the 29th. November 18th through the 29th in Tanzania. Follow that by December 24th through January 5th, 2022. And then Senegal and Gambia, April 1st to April 11th, 2022. And then in May 24th through June 5th, once again to Ghana. Once again to Ghana. And so he put these on. He rearranged it on the website. He's always updating it, which is great. Once again, it's the same price, $3,700 per person. He's trying to maintain that so more people can find ways to make the deposit, pay on it, and prepare yourself for a trip of a lifetime. Also, too, on the website, there's all the information that you need that you can download and so forth to make it happen. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. If you want to see pictures, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos, go to YouTube.com/Bomani 2007. And Renoco. Baba Renoco has an event coming up on Eventbrite, the African Image in Art, from Africa to Europe to the Americas, July 16th, Friday, July 16th, 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Okay, that's our time, from 8 to 9:30 Eastern Time, Friday, July 16th. And, of course, he has a trip upcoming to Kemet, July 31st through August 13th. That's this month, leaving this month, at the end of this month, July 31st through August 13th. And I made a mention that I'm going to be talking with him, and we're trying to establish a date while he is in Kemet to broadcast from there. He'll give me a call, and we'll have conversation over the air from Kemet. I've had calls from Africa. That's not nothing new, but I haven't had a call from Kemet and from my good brother, so I look forward to it. Yep, I will definitely do that. And that's Africa. That's Baba Renoco Rashidi. If you want to get a hold of Dr. Rashidi, you can go to Hotmail. Renoco@hotmail.com. That's one way. His phone number is area code 323-803-8663. 323-803-8663. Renoco Rashidi. Habesha Incorporated.org. The brothers and sisters are doing the work. The Pan-African organization, their programs, Habesha Works, Black to Our Roots, Sustainable Seeds, Golden Growers, and the Urban Green Jobs. Habesha is doing the work. They deserve to be supported. Go to HabeshaIncorporated.org. HabeshaIncorporated.org. And check out the great work they're doing on the continent. And great pictures and how bountiful and beautiful everything is. HabeshaIncorporated.org. The Ledge Group. TheLedgeGroup.com. Go to The Ledge Group and become a member. That's right. If you become a member, you have the opportunity to buy land in Tanzania. You have an opportunity to buy land at $250 an acre. $250 an acre. I really want to go to Tanzania. I really want to check the country out and so forth. And also Rwanda. President Kagame has done an outstanding job, and I know there's some detractors there, and there's always, until we have a unified front, there's always going to be some detractors, and there's always going to be some issues people will have to deal with. But the Ledge Group, they deal with areas of sustainable food, water, shelter, and clothing. Food, water, shelter, and clothing. They have 12 projects in 6 countries with over 170 employed, and they have over 260 members. Become a member of the Ledge Group. TheLedgeGroup.com. TheLedgeGroup.com. B.B. Toomey. B.B. Toomey. That is A-B-I-B-I-T-U-M-I.com. B.B.Toomey.com. Brothers and sisters, let that be your website that you choose for shopping, home, and news information, crowdfunding, and so forth. BBToomey.com. Once again, their Saturday seminar is going to be on the 17th. The 17th, and I think that is that a Saturday or a Friday? Let me check out here. I think it is. It's a Saturday. Yes, it is. And that's going to be Dr. Wade Nobles. Dr. Wade Nobles is going to be Saturday from 1 to 4, from 1 to 4, our time, Eastern time, from 1 to 4, Dr. Wade Nobles, and the liberation of the African mind, SKH, and the liberation of the African mind. Us lifting us to the economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa cooperative economics. So we like to say family-centered economics. Their Thursday night broadcast tomorrow night at 9 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Go to blogtalkradio.com/ULU. The name of the program is Dare to Win. You can listen that way. Or you can call. You know, the program is from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And you can listen to the program. That's us lifting us. Wadadas. Stopped by there yesterday when my good brother was in town. We chatted on the front of Wadadas there, and had some delicious smoothies and drinks and all the other stuff that they have. And then went around the corner to Healthful Essence and Soul Veg is across the street, but a West End. And it's, you know, and a lot of our discussion centered around gentrification, because that area of is going to be gentrified. Yeah. Well, Dada is located on Ralph David Abernathy. If you want to give them a call, please do so at 404-444-1635. That's 404-444-1635. Wadadas, Healthy Market and Juice Bar. Because, yeah, if you remember, they're across the street from the Soul Vegetarian. They had a new sign at Soul Veg. Looks good. Looks good. Stop in there. And down the street from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, which is open still on weekends. I'm not sure if it's open. I know they were always closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. They would open on Wednesdays. But presently or previously, they were open on Friday and Saturday from 1 to 7. Friday and Saturday from 1 to 7. And, of course, they got books, furniture. They have everything at the Shrine. And, of course, the red, black, and green shoes at the Shrine, they got them. They got them for you, the NASCAR shoes. So, Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, Mama Nia. Her bookstore looks great. Give my sister a call if there's a book that you're requesting or need, if you're just in Atlanta. Stop by the Greenbrier Mall and say hello to my good sister, Mama Nia. She's got books, postcards, greeting cards, all kinds of certificates and figurines, and of course T-shirts. Yeah, give her a call at 404-346-3263. That's 404-346-3263. Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall. The other bookstore we promote, of course, is my good brother, Gazimde Ajamu, at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore east of Atlanta here in the city of Lithonia. And there's light in the Black Dot. He has rearranged his place, has a coffee bar, which is he serves delicious Cameroon boil and other coffees and from Africa as well as in the diaspora. And my good brother
deserves to be supported. So give him a call. And of course, he has books. If you're looking for a book and he doesn't have it, believe me, he'll get it for you. 404-519-8107. That's 404-519-8107. There is light in the black dot. Sun Goddess Sense. Sun Goddess Sense, your one-stop natural shop located at 4140 Jonesboro Road in Forest Park, Georgia. Inside an international discount mall, booth 225. And, of course, check out my sister, Shelly Amonsett, at 404-434-7963. That's 404-434-7963. Sun Goddess Sense, the one-stop natural shop in the international discount mall. Sanjay Dash Haiti. And, of course, you've heard the news that the president of Haiti has been assassinated. And he had a lot of discontent, but he was assassinated last night or night before. And the person who was supposed to actually take charge, he died of COVID-19. And so once again, Haiti is in a bad situation, but it has been in a bad situation for a long time. In fact, I maintain it was in a bad situation when they defeated the French and the United States and France and Spain and England all got together because they felt you cannot have an independent African nation in the Caribbean while we trying to do this slave thing. So we got to suppress that. We got to challenge that. And they've been punishing Haiti ever since. You know, I mean, 10 years ago, 11 years ago, they had the earthquake and they still haven't recovered deeply from that. So maybe, I don't know, we can hope and pray that those who come into leadership will do what's right by the people and they will work to change the dynamics. Somebody said to me that the amount of money after the earthquake that came into Haiti was billions. I'm like, if that was the case, they could have fixed it up and gave everybody thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars. If that is the case, I don't know. Man, sometimes don't you just get sick of the lack of true leadership of our people? Selfishness and greediness, that's the influence of the European. Sanjay Dash Haiti is a good model of doing something positive in Haiti with Sister Gabrielle Aurelia and her program in the northeastern portion up in the hills of Haiti with the children, the educational component, the health component, the entrepreneurship. It's beautiful. Please go to Sanjay, S-O-N-J-E dash Haiti, A-Y-I-T-I, that's how you pronounce Haiti, .org, Sanjay-Haiti, and check it out for yourself. And hopefully you agree with me that they deserve to be supported. They deserve to be supported. Akabit Institute, Baba Baruni and Mama Ya, they deserve to be supported too, I'm telling you. Everything I announce here is a purpose. That well, I announce it because I believe in what these entities, its organizations and businesses are doing, and they're all us. And so a lot of times we don't spend money with us. That's why we don't have the things that we should have. You know, I mean, when Cafe Ulu was in existence, we didn't support it. The bottom line is we must support what is ours. Akabin Institute, brothers and sisters, if you're still writing out a check, like I do sometimes, you want to send it to, make it out to Akabin Institute, then you want to send it to P.O. Box 10786, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310, 30310. But, of course, you can use PayPal and other methods. PayPal, if you use PayPal, put in Yah's name, Yah Baruti, at yahoo.com. If you use Cash App, it's the $ Yah, the letter M, and then Baruti, B-A-R-U-T-I, at Cash App to make your donations. If you want some of Baba Baruti's books, he's a prolific writer, outstanding. Go to AkabinHouse.com. AkabinHouse.com. You know, I'm going to read the yesterday and today of the Enye Sesim, and that's what we're going to do today. Go over the Enye Sesim because there are so many dates that we missed. So we're going to go back over that. But this is what I would normally do, and this is what I'm going to do. And I'm going to read yesterday, which is July 6th, and today, July 7th. And, of course, July 7th, before I read that, if you don't know, July 7th, this day, after the Moors and the Sephardic Jews were kicked out of Spain in 1492, the 15th century, they started to engage in a practice of bullfighting. And there are many of our scholars who associate that with eliminating our brothers and sisters from Spain and Portugal and so forth. And so on July 7th, the seventh month, the seventh day at 7 a.m., 3 times 7 is 21, which is the age supposedly of maturity, for manhood. Men, I believe it's only men, I'm not sure, who wear white, have a red scarf around their waist and a red scarf around their neck, run with the bulls. They run with the bulls in Pamplona, Spain. And of course, they engage in bullfighting. And these are uncircumcised bulls. So these are feisty bulls. And they run with the bulls. In fact, in all the many years, about 15 people have been killed in running of the bulls. I think they chronicled the first one in 1924. And I think the last one was 09. And, of course, they're not running the bulls today. They didn't run the bulls last year because of COVID, and they plan to reestablish running the bulls next year in 2022. You know, the symbolism is very deep. And if you want to know more, then you would go to Frances Cress Welsing's book, The Isis Papers, The Keys to the Colors. She explains what that ritual is and how it is practiced and why it is important to them to kill the bull, to castrate the bull, to eat the bull's testicles. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. 777. So when you see July 7th, think about that, you know? Think about that. July 6th, from the Enye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. Powers keep on lying while your people keep on dying. World keep on a-turning, because it won't be too long till I reach my highest ground. Of course, you recognize that. That great visionary, Stevie Wonder. The righteous way always rise above chaos. They separate themselves from weakness and that which is ugly to the human spirit, no matter how strong it appears. Their greatest fight is within, because that is where true elevation occurs. It is a fight to identify and overcome the lower mind. It is the fight to be the best at thinking and doing the right thing. In an evil world order, such warriors are far and few in between, because of the fear of knowing and acting righteously that evil brings. But those who have battled and exercised the demons within have reached their highest ground. They are a model of what it means to be African. They are our glory. Affirm, I always reach the highest ground. Affirm, I always reach the highest ground. July 7th. A black man is supposed to have no feelings. So when a black man strikes back, he's an extremist. He's supposed to sit passively and have no feelings, be nonviolent, and love his enemy. No matter what kind of attack, be it verbal or otherwise, he's supposed to just take it. But if he stands up and in any way tries to defend himself, then he's an extremist. El Hajj Malik El Shabazz, Brother Omar Wali, Malcolm X. We stand embarrassingly alone as obsolete, unconditional forgivers of those who murder us without conscience. Encouraged by a crafty manipulation of their understandable fears and insecurities by a thoroughly pacified dog collar, misleadership, the visionless blind desperately clinging to slave doctrines which say that those who forgive the greatest done, say that those who forgive the greatest done against them will be the first to gain the security and comfort of a cool, wet, white heaven. Let me read that again, brothers and sisters, because this is our problem, and you've seen it. This is not something that happens. Oh, you've seen it just recently. You definitely seen it when the police officer killed that brother in Dallas. Right there in the courtroom, and not just by his brother, but by the judge and her sister, or a sister. I don't think that was his sister. But anyway, it says here, to gain the security and comfort of a cool white heaven, he says, the understandable fears and insecurities by a thoroughly pacified dog collar, membership, misleadership, the visionlessly blind, desperately clinging to slave doctrines, would say that those who forgive the greatest done against them will be the first to gain the security and comfort of a cool white heaven. They have come to see the forgiveness of genocidal killings of Africans as the primary currency by which they can exchange their miserable, trepidated lives for individual salvation. We can see this forgiveness of our murderers by others at all levels, from sending money to support the legal fund of those killers, to loved ones who even go so far as to make a public nuisance of themselves by hugging those who murdered their blood. Though seldom, these forgivers are sometimes given an earthly hope. From time to time, the politics of maintaining a human image for Urugu in order to maintain social and cultural advantage might cause an apology by a perpetrator or two. But warriors know that any shame that Urugu may pretend is for being caught for committing heinous crimes, for a lack of murderous sophistication, not having committed them. Affirm, I have rich feelings, and no matter the consequences, I productively express them. Affirm, I have rich feelings, and no matter what the consequences, I have, I productively express them. That's the Enye Sesem. And we're going to go over many of the ones that we have missed, because I was out of town, because some of them are some gems. But we're going to do as we always do, play a few things, say a few things, you know. Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah. There we go. This is Lord Macaulay's address to the British Parliament on February 2nd of 1835. He says, I have traveled across the length and breadth of Africa, and I have not seen one person who is a beggar, who is a thief. Such wealth I have seen in this country, such great high moral values, people of such caliber, that I did not think we would ever conquer this country unless we break the very backbone of this nation, which is her spiritual and cultural heritage. And therefore, I propose that we replace her old and ancient educational system, her culture, her culture. For if the Africans think that all that is foreign and English is good and greater than their own, they will lose their self-esteem, their native culture, and they will become what we want them, a truly dominated nation. Hate to read that because that's what happened. I've seen it. I'm talking with a group of young men in Ghana here praising London in Britain, praising them. The sickness never stops. It never stops, brothers and sisters. Believe me. This is what Kwame Nkrumah said in his speech of freedom in 1961, of course. In 1957, they became independent. And he gave an address at that time. And this is what he said some years later. I believe strongly and sincerely that with the deep-rooted wisdom and dignity, the innate respect for human lives, the intense humanity that is our heritage, the African culture united under one federal government will emerge, not just as another world bloc to flaunt its wealth and strength, but as a great power whose greatness is indestructible because it is built not on fear, envy, and suspicion, nor won at the expense of others, but founded on hope, trust, and friendship, and directed to the good of all mankind. Some years later, he had this to say. If we do not approach the problems in Africa with a common front and a common purpose, we shall be haggling and wrangling amongst ourselves until we are colonized again and become the trolls of a far greater colonialism than we had suffered heretofore. I don't know about you, man, but when I read these things, you know, I definitely do feel some kind of way because, you know the history and you know what has happened and you know what should happen and could be happening and you see that it is not happening and it's a bad feeling. To be truly liberated, African people must come to know the nature of European thought and behavior in order to understand the effect that the European has had on our ability to think victoriously. That's right. They're constantly doing stuff to our minds to think victoriously. We must be able to separate our thoughts from Europeans' thought so as to visualize a future that is not dominated by Europe. This is demanded by an African-centered view. Why? Because we are Africans, brothers and sisters. We are Africans. And because the future towards which Europe leads us is genocide. Marimba Ani. That's a fact. And we don't understand what's going to happen to us. We don't understand it. I'll do that. I'll play that after the break. Let me get a few of the Inye Sesem's read. I had to go all the way back to June 19th. Juneteenth Day. Missed a lot of days. And there's some good people that I know. So, you know. June 17th. What greater crime could be committed against you than the theft of your soul? Milan Khalid. Because we are human and blessed with being African, when looking at the lowest levels of everyday survival, many of our people experience daily, we should feel something. Some level of despair should tug at our hearts every time a brother or sister on the street asks for a dime, a piece of a meal, and especially a hug or a hand to shake in recognition that they are not invisible. Every African who is African at heart should feel compelled to do something concrete about whole human beings recast in the image of lone, diseased, untouchable creatures, scavenging for food, drugs, and whatever else to which their vision of survival and sanity has been reduced. Hating, blaming, and mistreating the homeless, the abused, the socially ostracized, and terrorized is completely and totally un-African. Un-African. But if you black, you can do that. See, I've been on this program trying to make that constant distinction between those who want to be black. Because when you're black, you don't want to be African. Because when you're black, you're just like the European. You're just like the Caucasian. You're just like white people. You're an individual. And if they didn't get theirs, so be it. That's their fault. Because I got mine. I'm happy. Of course, there are some among us who have no desire to be of Ma'at. They seek an escape from the feelings of responsibility for their fellow relatively disadvantaged Africans. Those are the black people. They do not see us as family, and their selfish, extreme individualism does not allow them to truly see themselves as anyone's keeper. Less, you know, they don't want to hear that. You know, that's the point. They don't want to hear it. They give no one with exception. When in Rome, do what the Romans do. Is music to their ears because it lends a seemingly timeless reason to their demoralization, selfish, and self-hatred. It gives them the appearance of strategically imitating Yorugos simply to be normal in a reality where abnormality rules. It proverbially misdirects them from from the fact that they are doing what the Romans do for no higher reason than because they want to become Romans. They want to be white. Even those who are black, who say they don't want to be white, but they want what whites have. They want the job, the promotions, to live in this neighborhood, to go to these schools, to drive this car. They want to mirror that. They're self-hating and they hate Africans. They hate Africans who fall on despair and they ridicule them. They support none of it. Affirm, I do not follow the way of insanity. Affirm, I do not follow the way of insanity. On Juneteenth Day, June 19th, I'm going to read a few of these. And brothers and sisters, if you want to join this conversation, for those who are in the queue, and I see there are many, you hit star twice. Hit star twice. And those who want to call in to make comments, questions, or concerns, you dial 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. June 19th. We blind our children, blind them to their potential, human potential, cripple them, dispirit them. Cripples make good clients, wards, beggars, victims. Tony Cade, Bambara. Our warriors in training are being turned into cripples by the very people responsible for bringing them into this reality and who have been charged by spirit and our story with rearing them into warriors. And at the heart of this turning lies the spoilage of these children. Spoilage symptomatically interrupts and retards the development of a person's intellectual, spiritual, and emotional character. And in most cases, it permanently cripples it. It does this through arresting their self-discipline and corrupting any moral responsibilities they may encounter in life. And as a result, their vision, motivation, and potential are severely weakened. Spoilage involves the breeding of lesser, more easily corruptible person because those who are spoiled have been consistently kept away from the internal struggles necessary to identify and strengthen the focus and resolve of one person's power. The more spoiled individuals are, the less struggle they will have dealt with and are weaker they will be in all areas in life where they will be presented with challenges. The more spoiled individuals are, the more difficult it will be for them to creatively, diligently, and thoroughly surmount the challenges of this and any other reality. We once knew that a child without discipline is a child without love. That spoilage, lavishly applied, produces cripples. We once knew that struggle, consciously embraced, produces warriors and challenges them because we love them. We must return to our natural way and give our children the discipline, struggles they need to walk under their own power or continue to fail them miserably. Affirm, I allow our children the struggles that strengthen. Affirm, I allow our children the struggles that strengthen. We must discipline. You know, I still hate, especially when I watch sports programming, just like the sister who smoked some weed and now she will not be able to participate in Japan in the events that she was dominant in, the 100, the relay, and so forth, you know. And so they keep saying, yeah, we're going to discipline her. No, you're not. You're going to punish her. Discipline is self-imposed order. That's what discipline is. Punishment means that you are out of order, and so therefore we must punish you, i.e. put you in detention, whoop your, you know, whatever. It's punishment. But because you are disciplined, you know what is right and wrong. You know what to do. You stand on a firm and solid foundation. But if you don't, you don't give a damn what you do and who you hurt or who you take from, because you lack no discipline. And then you don't lack any discipline. When you don't have any discipline, you get punishment. That's why they built all these prisons in this country. That's why there are more people in prison in this country than any country in the world. That's right. Here in the land of the free, home of the damn brave, a lot of people, and of course, we, as American Africans, are disproportionately imprisoned, mass incarcerated. June 20th. In order for the black man to live, the Negro has got to die. Death to the Negro. Sutek Amun Ra. Negroes are afraid of everything. Even when they act bravely, they do so out of fear of what will happen to them. And if they do not act as if they are courageous. These broken, discolored fragments of Urugu's deranged imagination are incredibly interesting to watch. They demonstrate an amazing level of sophistication in expressing the unspoken language that they have developed to use in communicating with their pale handlers in the presence of Africans. For example, when Urugu is in an African territory with a Negro, he or she leash, they know to consistently and consciously watch the mannerisms and movements of their Negroes for signals as to how to act and who to speak to. And the Negro, fully aware of their mission and responsibility, his or her master, knows to subtly keep him or her, them abreast of what they should and should not say, where they should and should not look, and in which direction it is and is not safe to trode. Also interesting is that in most encounters where Negroes see Africans as potential threats to their pale validators, they will position themselves like bodyguards in the form of a shield between their Urugu and our warriors. The lengths they will go to pretend that they are not slaves, whose sole job when guiding through Urugu through African spaces is to keep their master safe, should never surprise us. And this makes sense of the common knowledge held by warriors that Negroes will have to go first because they will kill you before Urugu, well, in order to protect the love they so desperately believe Urugu has for them. Affirm, I wish the incorrigible Negro nothing but death. Affirm, I wish those incorrigible Negroes nothing but death. The Enye say sim. What I read, I'm going to take a break. Of course, you can comment on what has been stated. 646. Hey, 646. Good afternoon. Well, good morning still, Jay.
Hey, what's happening? Oh, I got to ask you something right quick, man. I got to step away for a quick meeting. Check this out. Do you know anything about what happened with the Haitian president getting assassinated? I heard he was a crony of Clinton, Obama.
And he was.
I don't know anything about
it. Yeah, and he was. America supported his idea of trying to circumvent their constitution by keeping him in office. And there are a lot of protests against him. And so last night, based upon what I've also heard, you heard the same things I heard or read the same things I read on Facebook or whatever. They heard some people speaking in Spanish when they made the move on him, and some speaking English and American English. So, you know, that's what has been stated. So whether that's true or not, the bottom line is he has been killed. And what also is unfortunate, or maybe fortunate, is that the person who would take his position has also died of COVID. He died of COVID. So they have to go through a whole restructuring. And I hope going through this whole restructuring that the right people are put in place to make the necessary changes in the western part of the island of, you know, in Haiti, because, you know, in the eastern portion, which is the Dominican Republic, which is far better off than the western portion. In fact, a couple of years ago, I'm sorry.
They saying it's the CIA that was involved, and now they're gonna say that it was the Dominican involved. Oh, man. I mean, you know, it's funny to me because one of the weirdest experiences I had back in my working days was working with Haitians, man. They really, really into two things, politics and religion. Oh, man. The thing about them is, whenever you work with them, because I've worked with a group of them, they always find one elder, in a sense, who is, you know, like maybe a reverend or something like that. Well, at the job that I had one of those, man, and he was a loudmouth, religious, as I refer to, but goody Google man. You know, I had to smack him twice. I mean, because he was just loud, he was disrespectful, and, you know, he always wanted to big up Haiti on a level that, you know, at that time I was studying a little more. I had to, you know, I just had to, what you call him, man, I had to school him. And he was wild, but, you know, the thing that used to get me mad with him was he would yell at you. He would talk down to you and all of that, man. And, you know, it's like I told him one day, sir, you too old to be talking to a young man like me like that. I'll smack your face, you know. And
you're supposed to have respect for your elders, too, though.
No. You don't have respect for your elders when they're disrespectful, but you're right about that.
Yeah.
But it was just, He was just so dogmatic, man. And the way that he would talk to you, you know, I would never let nobody in their right mind or my mind talk to me that way. And he just couldn't figure it out until I had to smack him twice. You know what I mean? But they really seriously into politics in a sense that's why I couldn't understand. But I did understand why Haiti has never developed on the level that they should. And the reason is because of, like all situation, the outside influences of the overseer and the oppressor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, you know, this is going to be real interesting because now think about this. You know the response and the actions of controlling Haiti would have been different if the clown, you know, Trump was in office, because he wouldn't give a holy sugar honey iced tea about what happened. He'd be saying, let them all kill one another. But with the Biden administration, like the Clinton and the Obama administration, they don't want to control it and manipulate it for what their best interest is. And really, I don't know what the best interest is other than the fact that what Haiti did to the French and the people who they was able to get off of their backs and whatever mineral resources Haiti may have that America hasn't been able to exploit yet. So it's gonna be real, real interesting. But look, Oshie, let me run to this meeting.
All right, my brother, you take care.
I'll try to call you back.
All right, Jay, have a good one, brother. Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting in Haiti and finding out what's happening to what's going to happen to brothers and sisters in Haiti. And hopefully, like I said, that is my hope. But given the history, you can see. I mean, once they... gosh, sometimes I get tongue-tied in this situation because it is just so ridiculous. The European just makes me they made Haiti pay reparations to France. And Haiti paid it. They made Haiti pay reparations to France. It's just like the British paid reparations once the captivity was over, the physical captivity was over. They paid reparations for their property. And yet, that's what I'm saying. There's so many examples for us to get the hell up out of this damn madness. So many examples. But yet and still, we cling to the notion that we too can make these people be human. Make them respect our humanity. Make them respect us as human beings. No, it will never happen. It will never happen. Brothers and sisters, we need to take a break, don't we? I know I do. Brothers and sisters, listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll take this break. On the other side, we'll get in more conversation. There's a few more dates of the Inye Sasim that I want to read to you. They're gems. They're good quotes and then good responses by Baba Baruti. Outstanding. And hopefully you will be able to comment as well. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
for our motherland. Black is for the poor black man. Black is for the beautiful face of a proud and beautiful race. Black is for the soul we need, so our nation we can be. We'll be right back.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. Roy Ayers, 2000s, got to be us. That's 50 years ago. That song was 72, almost 50 years ago. So is Red, Black, and Green from the Ubiquity album, Roy Ayers, 50 years ago. Other programming we have here on Time for an Awakening Media. Once again, this program is every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And all times are going to give our Eastern Times. On Mondays, from 6 to 8, Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming with Brother Jihad Ahmed. That's followed by, from 8 to 9 on Monday, Black Therapy Central with Dr. Mawia Kamban and Ataki Kamban. And then from 9 to 10, Conversations, Reparations with Brother Jamoke and Sister Lacey. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, the Black Farmers Report from 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. If it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturdays from 4 to 6, Sister Talk with host LaWanda Chambers. Also on Saturdays from 7 to 9, the Sankofa Elders Council. And on Sunday at 7 p.m., once again, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Time for an Awakening.
There's a lot of talk of late on the African continent about the fact that Africans are awaking. There is a lot of talk about the fact that we are woke. But the question that I'd like to ask you is, almost 100 years ago, a man called Marcus Garvey rose and told Africans that they must unite. Unite in their control of resources. Unite as nations. Unite their imaginations, their dreams, aspirations, and capabilities to grow an Africa and a race that will be able to self-determine and compete against other races. A man called Kwame Nkrumah came and said the same message. And another by the name of Malcolm X said the same. But the question is, after almost a century since the rise of Marcus Garvey, has Africa achieved unity? Do we control our resources? Do we unite in our aspirations, dreams? And have we elevated Africa into a continent and a race that can compete and self-determine against other races? The truth of the matter is we have failed. We have failed because we have remained divided. We've continued to work as 54 different states that continue to be subjugated. This is why the French continue to have 14 colonies on the African continent. It is why 36 African countries have got American bases and AFRICOM on their soil. It is why many African countries continue to sell their resources, their institutions, for debt to countries like China. And the question that I'm now challenging you, the woke generation, with is, what are we going to do about it? The reason we've got wars on the African continent is because we're being divided for conquest. The reason we've got sanctions on the African continent is that all the independent knowledge and education, the power to take control of our resources, can be destroyed so that Africa can continue to be colonized by our Western colonizers. This is why now we need to rise. Remember that you, the African American, with all your paper money, the greatest wealth among all black nations, only have paper money, but the true wealth is in Africa. The true wealth is the reason why Africa is under sanctions and war, the one that Europeans want to keep for themselves. You need to bring your paper money, your skill, your knowledge, your frustration back to Africa to invest it in the control of wealth and real resources in the form of the oil, the diamonds, chrome, lithium, cassiterite, and all the other resources that the Western worlds are fighting to control in Africa. Your paper money can be leveraged into machines, skills, technology, and the knowledge that Africa needs in order to move and prosper. You, the Caribbean, with your skill, power, determination. You, the Jamaican, the first people to resist European colonialism. You, the Haitian, the very first black peoples to defeat a European army. You are the answer to Africa's problems. You, the European African, with all that you've learned and earned, the basketball player, the soccer player, the sportsman, the singer, the musician, the actor, with all your billions of dollars, are the investment that Africa needs to stop its dependency on the colonizer. It's about time that we rose. And I'm saying that Marcus Garvey's dream can be fulfilled, because when he dreamt it, not a single country, not a single African country was independent. When he dreamt it, not many black billionaires existed, if any. But today we've got black billionaires. Today the richest man in Africa is a black man. We have what it takes and the capacity that it takes to grow our continent into being a continent that can be respected, can self-determine, control its resources, control the processing of those resources, and create currencies based on those resources to be the leading economy in the world. With that, we can industrialize, grow up the technology curve, and begin to create the machinery, the tools to defend the sovereignty of this continent. And now I say it's time that we unite. We have countries like Zimbabwe under US war sanctions to make it unattractive for any African to come, because Europeans are preserving it for themselves. But I'm inviting you, my African American brother, you Africans in the diaspora, you Africans on the continent, to say, come and take advantage of the greatest reserves of lithium, chrome, gold, true wealth, land, an opportunity to develop infrastructure for us to create wealth as a people, for yourselves, for the advancement of Africa. The time to awake is now, but awakening takes action, pride, investment, development, innovation to give our people power. This is the time.
It's been time, and you know it. I know it. It's been time. That's what we must do. That's what we must do, dear brothers and sisters. Pull our resources, come together. Any fake, trivial barriers, any things that have kept us apart, any disagreement, squash them. Squash those beefs. And come to the understanding that we are an African people. If you have some pride in being from whatever, I understand that. But what's most important is that we're African people. Not that you're a Cameroonian or Ghanaian or Nigerian or whatever, or I'm a Mississippian or Alabamian or Georgian. That's bull. We are African people, and we need to come together. If we are going to survive, if we're going to be able to thrive, if we're going to be players in this world instead of the pawns that we have been created to be by those outside of us who have manipulated and undermined us,
We need to throw off that yoke, release the vice grip that they have on our minds, release those chains they have on our ass, and be independent, self-determining, liberated, sovereign. There is no other alternative. June from the Inye Sesim, brothers and sisters, from the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought. This is volume two. You know, I bought volume one a few years ago and I read it for 2 years straight. I'm going to read this one after the end of the year and read it again. Maybe he might come out with a volume three. Who knows? And if he does, that's cool. We'll get it. But I enjoy reading the Inye Sesim every morning of this broadcast to kind of set the tone. This, of course, if you've been consistently listening, speaks to warriorhood, speaks to the fact that we need to be ready for these challenges that we're going to be facing. June 22nd. For those of us who dare to be honest with ourselves, we must quickly align our political and economic objectives and our work with true desire of our hearts. We desire with passion to be free and masters of our own fate. We betray ourselves and our ancestors when we settle for what others prescribe for us. The ancestors cannot bless us if we will not acknowledge the natural desire within us to have our own, to defend our own, and to have no master but our collective selves. Baba Hakima Kinyama, of us lifting us, Baba Hakima, my good friend who's been preaching this for a long time. Whoever or whatever it is, if you cannot successfully defend him, her, or it, then he, she, or it is not yours. If you cannot defend it, period. The accepted idea that you are someone's rightful guardian because biology or the courts say so, or that you own something because you have paid for it through reassuring to its pacified inhabitants, is patiently false in a police state. The idea that you can completely own anything except your own mind, assuming you are sane in the first place, that your land deed will be respected, that you can escape by running to another place, is that globalizing police state. Even that, you cannot actually keep yourself or family safe while you and they are visible, living in mechanical spies. It is fiction. You cannot change this fact without destroying that police state, because any consciously oppressive order is fully aware of why it exists and how to remain in power. We can dress it up in all kinds of pretty, liberal, grassroots, reactive, reform-based blueprints and initiatives. You can pontificate it to death, but the only way that it will ever be changed is through the complete and total obliteration of its creators, the institutions they use to sustain it, and those who will always be their true believers. Affirm, I am honest with myself. Affirm, I am honest with myself, and truly I am. That is the only way. It is the only way, dear brothers and sisters. We got to eradicate it from our minds, our hearts, our presence. Baba Hakima. June 23rd, Africans, we must wake up. We have slept too long and retreated far longer than necessary. Parents and grandparents must cease enrolling their children in public schools that are designed to expand criminal institutions that benefit the oppressor's children. It's time to realistically plant the seed of liberation. Build our own, for our own and within our own. Brothers and sisters, we have almost run out of time. If we don't have a sovereign nation by 2050, what will be our destiny? Extinction by assimilation? genocide or mental, physical enslavement. Yeah. Mama Nabantu. Appreciate Mama Nabantu, the Pan-African Federalist Movement. Assuming that we mistakenly believe that we are no longer enslaved outside of the indefatigable will of those of us who unqualified refuse to accept or even acknowledge the possibility of being externally and rightfully vanquished, there is nothing in the universe which says that Africans cannot be re-enslaved. Just like rebellion and revolution, slavery is a choice. The option that we select for ourselves and our children depends on the depth of our critical historical awareness, the strength of our historical knowing and its political application, and a recognition of our historical oppression and our historical determination to permanently escape it through building sovereignty one generation at a time. Our ancestors forewarned us and told us that slaves deserve children for slaves. You know, slaves deserve children for slaves. Slave deserves slaves for children. Is this the future that we as a people want for those who yet to come? Is this what we want to return to? Have we become so selfishly individualistic in delusional pursuit of Yoruba's love, admiration, and trinkets that we can only see our responsibility to our children through the mental, assimilative, genocidal, enslaved lens Yoruba has prescribed for us? I swear I hope not. Affirm, I'm building our own for our own within our own. Affirm, I am building our own for our own and within our own. Mama Nabantu, appreciate you as well as Baba Akima. You know, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I've made a commitment that when I come on this program, I could talk about a lot of things. But even if I talk about a number of things, it always interwoven with the idea of African people coming into the realization of who we are and doing for ourselves, embracing who we are, embracing one another, solidifying our family, working to make it a better community. All of these things are important to us. All of these things that we must do. The ultimate for African people, the ultimate, the end game, is African sovereignty. We cannot do it here. We can't do a damn thing here in the midst of an open and sworn enemy. They have consistently shown us, but we keep ignoring, we keep hoping, we keep praying. They have consistently shown us. They don't give a damn about us. Whatever happened to us, so damn it be it in their mind. No, I ain't giving no restitution. No, hell no, I ain't giving no damn reparation. I ain't giving nothing to your ass. I mentioned Fred Price, the pastor in the church in Los Angeles, who died, I think, earlier this year. Fred Price. And they showed a sermon he was giving. They showed, it wasn't necessarily a sermon, but he was talking to his congregation. And he mentioned the Monopoly game. He said, because when we came off the plantation, physically, not understanding that the real captivity is the mind. Oh, yeah, you can physically take the chains off my ankles and ass. But if you imprison my mind, and so he used the analogy of the Monopoly game. He says in the Monopoly game, everybody is given some money at the beginning. Every player is given $1,500. So as they continue to go around the board and land on things that they could buy or pay rent to somebody who's already bought it, or build that space up to really hit it big when somebody lands on it, or pay your way to get out of jail and all of these things. But to us, none of that happened realistically. Even when Callie House said, we should have, for all that we have done, she called them slave pensions. They put her in prison. They put her in jail. And I know, too, I remember watching a piece on one of the news channels. And they talked about this. One brother was talking about reparations. And in order for you to be a part of, you got to give him some amount of money, some minimal amount of money or whatever. I understand that. But to me, you know, to give reparations, such as like what Ados is talking about, we the only ones that should be given reparations is us, the descendants of Africa. The descendants of slaves, the American, what is it? ADOS, right? A-D-O-N, American descendants of slaves. God, I hate that. How do you even say it? And now, if you come here and you from the Caribbean, so you take your ass back to the Caribbean. Only one that's getting reparations up in here. You African? No, you know, you take your ass back to Africa. It's us American Negroes. For what we have done. And we'll take whatever the government feels it's right for us, I guess. And of course, many us could give less than a rat's ass. We just care about ourselves. And so whatever amount of money they're going to give us, a nice windfall. And unfortunately, it will not be, as I vision, reparations, because reparations is to repair us, to build institutions, to get up, to get us out of this madness. It is not for us to, for reparations to be a stimulus package. We got the reparations, y'all. Let's go get a Cadillac. We got the reparations, y'all. Let's go. Oh, man, I've been showing up wanting to buy this house in that gated community with those white folks. Yeah, man. No, money must be utilized to turn this situation around for us, to build institutions, to teach us. Just as Mama Nabantu said in the last piece that I read, the main institutions that we need to build are educational institutions, because some of us who are my age or younger, we're gone, we're lost. We bought into this madness hook, line, and sinker. In a damn thing that somebody can say to us. And when you, even when you have a place like Atlanta, where we don't have, yes, we got some businesses, they're the usuals, a restaurant here, a barbecue joint there, some vegan restaurants over here, a barbershop, a beauty salon. When you don't have a damn supermarket, yeah, we got Citizens Trust Bank. You know, that's it. So, to me, the most technologically advanced Africans on the planet in mass are here. What if these brothers and sisters who are here finally it clicked in their mind that, hey, I'm going to take all that I can get from here and go home and build and work with my brothers and sisters there. If I got to teach them, I will teach them. If they got skills right off, well, I'll work with them. I ain't coming there thinking I'm the savior. No, I'm coming there thinking that I can assist in making Africa a player in the world, a great continent with plentiful resources that are controlled by us. You want them? You want some of it? You will pay fair market value price. Yeah. June 24th. Western ideas color our conscious and unconscious thoughts to such a degree that even when we think we are safe in sleep, we dream Western dreams. They inject their insanity into everyone until every tortured soul loses his or her mind and becomes one of them. Nothing in Urugu's reality works toward African sanity. Therefore, whatever we may build to empower our sanity and sustain it at its optimal most must exist outside the spiritual, cultural, and physical confines of their matrix. Our ancestors did not send us here to be under Urugu. Starve that confusion. With all due haste, warriors must move toward movement. True momentum does not require constant motivation. Neediness is not becoming of warriors. Limits are for the limited. Be unlimited. Affirm, I dream African dreams. Affirm, I dream African dreams. Everything about the European is about domination. This is as Dr. Lynn Jeffries said, they're about the three D's: death, domination, and destruction. If you've seen the documentary, which I've mentioned two documentaries here consistently, the one is Exterminate All the Brutes. Exterminate All the Brutes by Raoul Peck. Raoul Peck is from Haiti, and he lived at the time of Papa Doc, Baby Doc, and Aristide, and other madness. He's lived in the Congo, formerly Zaire. He's lived there. So when that documentary plays, he lived in Germany. Many things that you will see and hear is what he has experienced already. So he's coming from that perspective. Exterminate All the Brutes on HBO. If you have streaming, you can stream all four episodes. They're about almost an hour apiece. That's what I did. I watched it twice. And I'm going to watch it again. You know, what's interesting about Exterminate All the Brutes, it is what this country is challenging. This country does not want to teach the history, the ugly history of what America has done and continues to do. They want this fantasized 1776 and the founding fathers, these great visionaries, these great men of wisdom. And of course, the unfortunate to them, the slavery, which was a necessary evil. But we took you out of slavery. That's what they say. Check out what the Europeans say in America. We are the ones. We gave you these amendments. In fact, we did fight a war over it, but we came together. And even though the folks down south who lost the war want to cling to it, but we support that because it's history. It's what shaped America. It's what made America great. So it's like, you know, we want to deny and pass laws against, quote, critical race theory, at the same time maintain the Confederacy, the flags, the statues, the memory. Oh, man, I tell you, huh? It is. It's a sickness. June 25th. Survival becomes death as our youth are brutally victimized at the hands of the enemy. Europeans who deposit deadly drugs into our community. Europeans who create AIDS to eliminate our people. Europeans who profit from our pain and of hunger. Europeans who designed homelessness. Europeans who destroyed our children's minds before they entered grade one. Europeans who maneuvered our children into a fit of frenzy, madness, as they play their racist game of capitalism, using our children as disposable pawns in their attempt to control the world. They use whatever method that is required: wars, disease, starvation, plagues, even murder. These races have blatantly let us know, in no uncertain terms, that we are prisoners of war, living in a world possessed and controlled by fear and hatred of African people. Robin Taylor Nixon. We know the method to the madness of those who aspire to, this is how I use this term, because obviously I don't believe in white supremacy. Number one, the Caucasian is not white. Like, we're not black. Those are colors. And he's shown in hell ain't supreme. So I use the term European Caucasian extreme, because they are very extreme. Extremism, racism, because they are the ones who created. There's no such thing as race, but they created race for their benefit, for a stratification of Caucasoid, Negroid, and Mongoloid, giving themselves a top position with everybody else at a lower position, with us, Africans, at the lowest position. That's why I use that term. They are not supreme. They are extreme. We know that they will kill for nothing. So imagine their reaction against those who refuse to love their murderous ways. We know that they will maintain their dominance through the fear and political disorganization of the masses, through systematically murdering the voices of any who would lead them. We need no more proof of their involvement. History is complete evidence. And this irrefutable record is what makes it critical for warriors to instruct those who would do so not to protest over their murder. Well, contemplated action is the only logical response. As our ancestors have said, the only righteous, worthy way to show respect for those murdered on the battlefield is to continue their work with even greater zeal than they. Affirm, I stand against those who aspire to European, Caucasian, extremism, racism, and privilege. Privilege. Yeah. You know, give me a call at 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. Get in on the conversation. Like I said, I'm reading from the Inye Sesim of Daily Revolutionary Thought, because we as African people, we must do this. It is incumbent upon us. Nobody's going to do this but us. You know, we can think. You know, I know, talking to a brother, in fact, even Jay, talking about how religious, you know, how religious the Haitians are, and steeped in Catholicism, you know. Of course, it wasn't Catholicism in 1804. Bookman Duty said, "Throw away the white man's God, and you will be free." He didn't say you could be free. He didn't say you might be free. He didn't say you should be free. He didn't say maybe you'll be free. No, he said, throw away the white man's God and you will be free. I don't know if you ever noticed, and I hope that you do, because will is something that is deep. I put emphasis on will, that word. Because if we have the will to do it, it will get done. But if we lack the will, it ain't happening. At the end of the program, B.B. Fortier, our victorious destiny, we will be victorious. The the will. Will do. Throw away the white man's God, and they defeated the French. And then they had to deal with the Negroes, the mulattoes, the Hiyellas, who still had legions. Good movie. Feast of All Saints. Good movie. Check it out. Maybe go to YouTube. Maybe go to a streaming service. Feast of All Saints. James Earl Jones is telling the story of when he left after the revolution, Haiti, and went to New Orleans. And as he was growing up in New Orleans, that he was supposed to get a sponsor, one of the, because he was born by a Frenchman, to go to France and to study, you know. So you can be aristocratic. Feast of All Saints. And it's deep, this madness that we have been experiencing for so long, of color consciousness, color confrontation, good hair, bad hair. Yeah. June 26th. Just imagine naming the largest lake in Africa after a woman who was responsible for the murder of more Africans than Adolf Hitler killed Jews. Victoria was one of the original masters of genocide of the Christian era. Dr. Yosef Ben Jokanen, Dr. Ben. Doc Ben, as we fondly call our Jegna ancestor, Dr. Ben, Yosef A. Ben Jokanen, taught extensively about the callous, arrogant renaming of African spaces by Urugu. All over Africa still today. Even the African countries like Cameroon. Cameroon means shrimp. Found that out, like, you know, everything needs to, all the boundaries, we need to come into this existence of African sovereignty. Eliminate the boundaries, all the things, eliminate the names, the roads, the Lake Victoria. He helped many better grasp the deep political importance of invasive terrorists erasing our historical memory by renaming the territories they came to occupy after themselves. The renaming process is critical to the internalization of a self-hating, people-demanding, disempowering, fragmenting menticide among those who seek to oppress and destroy it, because it disconnects them from their source of power, their traditions, their spirit, their source, their home. His friend and colleague, Jegna ancestor, Dr. John Henry Clark, also spoke of the importance of invaders renaming everything after themselves and against the indigenous people, to establishing non-Urugun places as their property. He reminded us that the powerful name, while the powerless are named. I repeat, while the powerless are named. Our power is seen in the choices we see as being available to us, the decision we make relative to them, and the energy we place into bringing these decisions to fruition. Needless to say, as long as we do not name ourselves and our heritage after ourselves, then we and it belongs to those enemies who name us and after them. Sankofa starts with us returning our names to us and ourselves. And in reference to the above quote, as Dr. Ben taught us, Imuzwanzi Inyeye is the original name of our people who gave the now misnamed Lake Victoria. Affirm, I am renaming the world in African terms. Affirm, I am renaming the world in African terms. Watching a recent program, and because we're so discombobulated and so imposed, and we suffer from the Urugu virus, that we continue to name ourselves after Europeans. Even today, you must have a Christian name. No, you must have an African name. I have an African name. I have an African name that was given to me at an African naming ceremony. And I chose to go through the so-called legalities of making that my name. With the assistance of a sister who was a paralegal, filling out the forms and so forth, me taking them down and filing them in court and going to see the commissioner. My name was changed from Edward Brown, and that's the name of that's the name of Brother Mstada, Brother Mstada of the Pan-African Federalist Movement, who's the, you know, chairperson. And we both laugh at that. But I changed my name. In fact, what was funny, when I did change it, brother said, oh, yeah, well, what's your paycheck say? That was a good point, you know, because your legal documents, as far as this country is concerned, you know, what name, what designation does that have? Well, I told the brother, my paycheck says, Oshinyemi Adelabu. That's what my paycheck says. Okay, then. All right, Eddie. That's what my cousins used to say. But, you know, my mother, I asked her that I was going to change. I told my mom I was going to change my name. She said, don't ask me, because you're going to do it anyways. I know you. But I wanted to say that to you, Mom, because you named me.
Show that token.
Have that respect. Hey, Jay.
Yeah, man, you showed that Toby when he had the nerve to question you about your name because did daddy pay you. Yeah. You know, that's what you gotta respect about an African when he goes full circle and he makes it to where, as you know, Toby's and Saltines can't come after them and question their Africanness.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I know a lot of people who, you know, change their name, but they go all of the way because of they say out of honor to their parents.
Right.
Which to me, you know, it is what it is. You right. know, but the reality is anybody that has changed their name to an African name, I take my hat off to them.
No
man.
Doubt. No doubt. I do.
I show them much respect, man, yeah. because they deserve. Because that's a precious thing
yeah.
that one does, man. That's why, you know, I get a kick out of these so-called African-centered scholars who have, you know, African names from bestowed upon them from the elders, but professionally use a Saltine Yorugu name.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And then put the doctor in front of it. You know what I mean? It's just like you really, really a joke. Now, lastly, let me say this right quick. Everybody's so happy about what Ta-Nehisi Coates and Hannah Jones did.
Right.
Number one, Hannah Jones ain't what she's cracked up to be. And the reason why I say that is all you have to do is look at her 1619 project.
I wasn't impressed.
The work is just totally
yeah.
incomplete.
Yeah.
It's Negroes who don't know that praise that sugar honey iced tea,
yeah,
which is disrespectful to my elders. You know what I mean? Because how do you put forward that type of work and don't put nothing there by people like, you know, Baba Baruti or others? Do you know what I mean? So to me, that's whitewashing. Just like HBCUs are nothing but a place to create Negro peace.
Yeah.
Because they ain't doing nothing but trying to get closer to the daddy with all of the
talent that they have, why ain't they creating institutions to challenge the daddy in his scary thoughts and ideas? So look, a HBCU is a good thing to educate our people in a sense, but let's be clear, it's the bastion of miseducation of the Negro in a place, in a tool to make us do nothing but go into the arms of the saltine, Yerugal devil bastard. Thank you.
I hear you, Jay.
Now, am I wrong?
No, you're not. No, because I've argued that same point, Jay. I've argued that same point. You know, these schools, in fact, they rely on the philanthropy of benevolent Caucasians. In fact, some of the schools are named after Caucasians, you know, for their philanthropy. You know, some of these, quote, United Negro College Fund schools. In fact, you know, to me, if I had some serious money, I would say to them, I want to donate some serious money to y'all, but y'all got to change your name. I want to donate some serious money to the NAACP, but you got to change your name. I wonder if the hell that would happen. And say to you, I don't want this no longer to be the United Negro College Fund, Negro. No, I wanted this to be the African Retribution Fund for Reacclimation and Re-education. And re-education. Of course
you
I am.
Your face
of course I am.
Negro ain't never going to give up. What the white man give upon them.
You know?
Why do you think they always pushing the NAACP? Why you always think they pushing the Urban League?
Still.
Their money towards?
Still. After all these years.
African, you couldn't get a dime.
Yep. After all these years. Still.
Yeah. I mean, if you talk about putting something together, African-centered, that's going to change the narrative in regards to so-called blackness, whiteness, or whateverness you want to pick and choose, they laugh at you. you know what I mean? I mean, it's just unfortunate because we don't know nothing and we praise things that we assume are in our best interest. But hey, listen.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, the white man is doing the most beautifulest thing to black folks. And you know what's so crazy, oh? Black folks ain't still getting it, is what they doing with this vote. This so-called democracy. And to think about it, this is the thing that most people don't really realize. It's really 58 people that's controlling it. And two of them are Negroes, Tim Scott and Clarence Thomas. The others are the Republican Party senators and the conservative members of the Supreme Court. But if you tell that to a Negro, Negro won't understand it because he still think if he register and he vote, that this shit gonna not be what it is. But no, brother, you heading into a time that black people have never seen before. You think we marginalized now? Wait until them so-called Negroes that got positioned really get marginalized. But they don't get it, oh. They don't get
no,
it.
No, no, because...
Even, they don't even realize.
No,
you
because you know why?
Hey, people controlling this show, because, they look at you like you crazy.
Because you are trained to think individually. You are trained to think individualistic. You're not trained to think collective. You're not trained to think the African way. Individualism is a European Caucasian desire. I think, therefore I am. But collectivism is an African imperative. It is a must. And our problem is that we can't think outside of the imposed boundaries that these crackers have put us in. And so, therefore, we're in their matrix.
Saltines, OC, please.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the saltines.
We have to give up that other C word because we got to keep it safe for them. This is a safe place for the saltines to come and keep in. And what you call them? No more can we use that word. We got to use saltines to keep you from getting banned from these institutions.
From these airways.
So that's what I use now. The saltines.
The saltines.
No good, filthy, stinking saltines.
I hear you, Jay. Gotta go, Jay. Gotta go, dear brother. I appreciate you. You too, man. Have a blessed day, man. Hope you can join us on Friday. Hotel. Brothers and sisters, we end this program, and I hope that you enjoyed listening to me read from the Enye Sesem, because to me, it's a constant reinforcement of the idea and the concept of what we should be about and what our brothers and sisters, and particularly our youth and young men and women, should be about. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they sure in hell don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Bivahodie. Bivahodie means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, we will be victorious. You have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Be safe out there. Hope to see you on Friday. Peace.